This is a HeadGum Original.
I will say that this is grosser than I realized.
This song, you mean just looking at the lyrics? Now you're reading the lyrics on a piece of paper in front of you. You can see them all in one place.
Yeah. Sugar? Okay. Yeah, maybe he's talking about kissing.
Like, give me some sugar, baby? Sure. Yeah, yeah. It could be about just kissing.
Red velvet?
Like, I know that the radio likes to, like, you know, beep and have like a clean version. I feel like this song needs an entire clean version. Like the whole thing needs a clean version.
Just fully rewrite the lyrics to have a clean radio version.
Absolutely.
It is clean. It is clean. There's no naughty words in this song.
And somehow it's naughtier than anything with any like bad words.
But listen, you guys are all looking at these lyrics now with the hindsight that we have here recording this in November 2022. The hindsight of what has transpired in the world of Maroon 5, the M5CU, Maroon 5 Cinematic Universe.
I didn't even connect the dots. I forgot about that.
You're saying the Adam Levine sexts?
Yes.
You don't think this would be dirty in a world without Adam Levine's sexts?
I'm saying that now you cannot unknow what you know about Adam Levine and his marital infidelity and his absolute thirstiness. And this song is so thirsty.
His need to see the booty.
Oh my God. I didn't even think
Anna, are you really saying you walked in this room without thinking about Adam Levine's sex?
I did not think about that.
That's why we're here.
Oh man.
To peruse every angle.
I wish I had not spent the last 2 days thinking about Adam Levine's sex, but I have.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it today. I don't want to know about it, but I know we will have to.
This morning I was like, well, we might need to read some of the sexts, so I'll just copy and paste them from a news article. And all the news articles I could find about Adam Levine's sex, which is a very funny thing to write a news article about, were really just roundups of like the funniest tweets about Adam Levine's sexts. Like, his sexts weren't there. So what I ended up having to do was Google image searching Adam Levine sex and then hand typing everyone. And it felt so weird to be hand typing like, I need to see the booty. I would buy your booty a steak dinner. Me and Nate are going surfing in Maui. May get tattoos.
Oh,
fuck. You're such an hourglass.
You're doing us a service. You're such a yeoman technologist. Wow. Thank you for that service. You are listening to Punch Up the Jam, the show in which we talk about sexts. No, this is the show in which we talk about songs, and specifically the greatest hits of all time, of which this certainly is measurably one. This is a big, big, big number one hit that we're talking about today, Sugar by Maroon 5. I'm Evan Gregory, one of your hosts.
I'm Andrew Gregory, and we're so happy to be joined today by Inada. Better known as the Park Slope Arsonist on Instagram. What is that? Are you... We have too many listeners for you to say whether you're an arsonist.
We know you to be content creator, social media person, Instagrammer, and funny human. Can you confirm or deny here in front of the press for the first time whether you're not an arsonist?
I plead the fifth. I will not answer that question without my lawyer's presence. Thank you.
But I understand you came by that handle the best way, which is you were just doing a bit and then decided to never change it back.
Yeah.
You were trolling your friend.
I was. My friend tweeted, has anyone noticed there's been a lot of fires in Park Slope lately? And I changed my handle to be Park Slope Arsonist so I could respond and say, wow, I wonder who's behind all of it. And it just stuck.
A surprising amount of the internet is just built around trolling. And so it makes sense that at least one Instagram handle is just a high-level troll as well. I mean, a large percentage of this podcast itself is trolling.
Really?
Taking the best hits of all time and making them even better in a way that sometimes is a little trolly.
That's exactly right, Andrew. We always make these songs
100%
better. No one would ever argue that we've ruined these songs. when we improve them at the end of every episode of this show. We have a real tough cookie this week because this is a big hit, but it is an insipid hit.
I mean, I'm going to sound dumb saying this, but I did not realize what a big hit this was. And it popped up on, for me, like, this is the ultimate list of the biggest hits of the last 10 years. It's on the list.
You must have not, been driving when this is out. Because if you had a car and you had to drive, this was on the radio. It felt like for weeks.
They wouldn't turn it off. They get to the end of the song, you fade back into the beginning of the song. Then you get out of your car, you go into CVS, it's playing in the CVS.
I thought this was a pharmacy level hit. I thought it was a pharmacy level hit that's like Carly Rae Jepsen's third single that you only hear in the pharmacy, but you don't hear in the car. And this is on the list of the 30 most viewed YouTube videos of all time.
30 most viewed
YouTube
videos?
Which for me is like
video?
The canon of like the biggest song hits of the last 10 years, basically. And there's only like a couple bands that have two songs on the list, and Maroon 5 is one of them. Taylor Swift only has one of the top 30. Maroon 5 has two. That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Only person with more than two is Ed Sheeran.
I'm sure.
Amazing.
What's the other Maroon 5 song?
Girls Like You, I bet. Payphone?
Sunday Morning?
I'm fully blanking, but it's none of those.
You Will Be Loved?
Katy Perry has two.
Katy Perry?
Animals.
I don't know.
Every song we just listed is a number one hit. This band is so big.
I think it's Payphone. I think it's Payphone.
Oh, God.
Because you think about Payphone, I think Payphone is around this era. Payphone is after Adam Levine is on The Voice, and so much of their resurgence and takeover, they have a pretty big 2000s,
mm-hmm.
but it's all like, oh, this is kind of an undergroundish band. Like, oh, they're opening for John Mayer. And it's only once he's on The Voice that all of a sudden they're like premiering quote unquote Maroon 5 songs on The Voice, and they're just like huge, blowing up.
Career making change.
Yeah, yeah, career making change. Yeah. So I think it's Payphone. Wiz Khalifa's on that, right?
Yeah. If you're a host on The Voice, that equals number one hits. If you host The Apprentice, you get to be president. This is the way reality TV works. This is just the way it works. So of all of their number one hits, we're talking about the song Sugar.
And you picked it.
Anna, could you share with us, what was your motivation? You brought this song up. We immediately said yes, because this was a song we could really drink the haterade to.
You had a couple of great suggestions, but Sugar was just our number one pickup.
Yeah, why is this on your
top
list?
Top tier picks.
I mean, personally, as a career hater, I feel like I hate for a living. There are a lot of songs that really rub me wrongly, but Sugar in particular had this ability to be awful entirely throughout, in my opinion. Like, usually, a song is bad because the chorus is annoying or but Sugar, the lyrics, the vocals, the chorus, the bridge, all of it in entirety, you cannot find a moment of peace, a moment of zen in that song. And all of that together, I think encompasses one of the worst songs ever, to grace the ears of the American public.
And, you're going contrary to the people's wisdom, because we're talking about a 3 billion view video. People love this thing.
I think people just are curious what the video would look like. And I probably would go home and probably check out the video too, now that you mentioned
have
it.
You, do you know what the video is, Anna?
I have no idea what the
we've
video is.
We've had a lot of discussion on the podcast, and we've only settled on this recently, about whether videos are canon for a song.
The song has a certain message. When you watch the music video, is whatever they chose to do video-wise, does that become part of the message of the song? Or was it just an afterthought that they had?
You know, here we are talking about the song for an hour. If we're talking about Hooba Stank's The Reason, can we talk about their music video in which they're pulling a bank heist to steal a ruby? Or is that kind of off message? And after weeks of struggling with this, we've decided that the music videos are indeed canon. And this music video is crazy to me. Is directed by the director of the film Wedding Crashers, and who's a personal friend of Adam Levine's, family friend.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just grown up in L.A., going to Brentwood High School. You're just family friends with the director of the Wedding Crashers. And he decided to set the music video in the WCU, the Wedding Crashers universe. Yes.
Yeah.
And in the video, Maroon 5 is going around to different weddings and crashing the weddings to play the song Sugar. And like
to the, surprise people. Yes,
and they're like these like poor PAs dressed in tuxedos are walking in and building a huge tent in the middle of the reception so that Maroon 5 can sneak into the tent. And then like the brides and grooms are being like brought over and like led by like a PA to the tent so that the tent collapses and like the bride is standing like 5 feet away from Adam Levine on her wedding day as Adam Levine is going like Sugar. It's insane to me that this made it through all of the decision points to be made.
It's shot like a reality show. Like this actually happened at several different weddings. You know, the music video comprises that it happens four or five times throughout the course of the video. Like you're supposed to believe that Maroon 5 is sort of driving around town to many different weddings happening and just busting in and surprising the bride and groom by playing to them. And that is depicted as the ultimate awesome rad thing to have happen at your wedding, to get surprised by Maroon 5 jamming out.
Playing a song that presumably you've never heard before, because presumably this song was released after the video was shot.
That's right. That's right.
Who on their wedding day wants a full video crew to show up and have Adam Levine scream him in your face? I just don't get it.
I have so many questions.
I'm ready to answer them because I read a lot about the music video.
I mean, I want to know why this like concept in general, like from the lyrics, you would think like, oh, like this is going to take like a couple, like if I had to imagine the music video, it's like, you know, like, maybe like, you know, Beyonce's, what's that Beyonce song? Irreplaceable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sort of like that vibe, but like from the perspective of the guy, so he's like sort of begging her back. That's what I would like, or like imagine.
It's a begging song for sure.
Yeah, or a white guy version of the D'Angelo video from the 90s.
Oh,
where
yeah.
D'Angelo's just naked and hot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that. Like this, I don't know, a wedding, it feels, this is the least romantic song. Like
it's purely horny.
I think you're onto something huge here though, because I think it's supposed to be
Adam
romantic.
Levine thinks it's romantic.
Adam Levine thinks it's romantic, I think, to be this absolutely thirsty, just begging, that it's romantic to just be like, please, 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 gimme, please, 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 gimme.
Stop saying that.
I want a slurp of sugar. I think that may be his romance. And now, here in... we're just so lucky.
I need to see the boot.
I need to see the boot. Now that we're doing this in November 22, we might have... There's a different universe in which we talked about this song 6 months ago.
And we
missed all this.
But
now
it.
We know exactly about the thirst.
So here's what I want to tell you that's absolutely insane. Well, first of all, I just want to say the director, you know, talked a lot about the music video because it was such a big hit. And he was like, everyone always wanted me to do a sequel for Wedding Crashers. I just didn't think it made sense. Finally, I had this opportunity to make something that's kind of a Wedding Crashers thing. And what is insane to me is, like, does the director of Wedding Crashers not understand the message of Wedding Crashers? Like, if you watch the movie Wedding Crashers, you don't get to the end of the movie and think, like, and so wedding crashing was good. Like, they're crashing weddings and they realize the folly of their ways and fall in love along the way. And it's funny. But in this, it's like, you know what the most romantic thing possible is? Crashing weddings.
Just
it's like
busting in on someone's special day when they're about to have the spotlight on them and everyone focused on their love, and you bust in and say, me, me, me.
What happened to the director? Did he just not get the screenplay? I don't know. But the other thing that is unbelievably hilarious to me is that the week of Adam Levine, guys, he started to have second thoughts. Maybe the bride and groom aren't going to like this. Maybe there's going to be too much attention on me on their special day. And so he came up with the perfect way to solve this problem. And do you know what that solution was?
Take a shirt off, I hope.
No. So after they played Sugar, they played a second song.
Nice. Just keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah, just keep the love
they
going.
They played an acoustic version of She Will Be Loved just for the bride and groom and made it their first dance. And that way, it was a nice thing to crash their wedding.
Wow.
By making their first dance one of their songs.
That does make it nice. If you if you're worried about drawing too much attention to yourself, just play longer.
Yeah.
How do they find these couples? Like, are they Maroon like 5 fans?
At least part of the video has to be fake. It has to be. Okay. I have to believe that at least part of the video is fake. But they've sworn up and down that part of the video is real.
That they went to real weddings.
But they claimed they didn't tell. The grooms were kind of in on it. They knew there was going to be a surprise, but supposedly didn't know the band. It was like, how do you know they're a Maroon 5 fan?
Yeah, like, they could like actually hate Maroon 5. Hate like Maroon that, 5. Would ruin my wedding. That would ruin, my wedding.
Yeah. 100% it would have ruined my wedding. How long, Evan, did you and Sarah take to decide what your first dance was going to be?
Which Maroon 5 song we would dance to first?
Which Maroon 5 song was your first dance? Yeah,
I wanted Animals and she wanted Payphone. Yeah,
ours was Sunday Morning.
I don't know. We pitched each other on a couple ideas. But that's a long discussion. This is a high stakes decision, what your first dance is going to be.
When Casey and I got engaged for like 5 days, all we talked about was the music. Like we talked a little bit like, oh, are we going to be married in New York or, oh yeah, sure we will. But like, I don't know. That's just where our mind went because we're such music lovers that we were thinking about like, what music is Casey going to walk into? What are we going to play while we walk out of the wedding? For weeks, we thought about first dance and we finally picked something that like really hit for both of us. Imagine you spent weeks deciding that, a year has passed, and then Adam Levine shows up and makes the song.
I'm sorry,
she
for
will
a second, I thought you said you
she
picked Imagine, and that's no. how I was like, No.
That'd be a bad first dance.
Andrew's such a pacifist. Yeah. He chose for his first dance Imagine by John Lennon. Yeah. I think, well, the basic conceit is they think this is just perfectly okay because they're very famous. So they're just assuming everyone's going to be excited out of their mind because a famous person came to their wedding, period.
Yeah. And they are in L.A.
They
people
are in L.A.
L.A. love famous people.
Yeah. You go to the wedding, odds are everybody in there's a star fucker.
So I don't want to delay us playing the song anymore, Evan. But first,
oh no,
we need to briefly step into your least favorite segment on the show.
No.
Then you get $5.
That's right, Evan. I'm going to give you a crisp $5 bill if you can answer a piece of trivia about Maroon 5. And you can steal this.
And this is your first guest spot on the show. Andrew tries to spring. He doesn't do this every week, so I wasn't expecting it. But he tries to spring a trivia question on me. I always lose, but if I get it, it's worth $5. You could steal.
You could steal.
Could I steal it for 10?
She's already double or nothing. We didn't even make it through the question yet.
I'll give you 6. I'll give you 6.
Okay.
I didn't even know this is negotiable.
Okay. You could have talked me up this whole year.
I could have been negotiating for the last year.
How much money do you think you made in the last year? $25? $30? One time you split with Phil, which I specifically told you
guys
you
couldn't
do.
Get to the question, man.
The question is, this video was such a success on YouTube that Maroon 5 and the director of the music video took it out and pitched it as a reality television show called Sugar, which was made and aired.
What?
Yes. Every episode, a celebrity surprising a fan in the real life, which honestly is a better idea because like,
you know,
they're a known fan.
This is a real show?
It's kind of like Make-A-Wish televised, except hopefully no one's dying.
Okay.
Blake Shelton did an episode. Bad Bunny did an episode. Snoop Dogg did an episode. That's exciting. Snoop Dogg shows up to your work.
If you're a mega fan,
You're just out of jail. You're trying to get back on your feet, and Snoop shows up. Maybe that's not a good idea, because you could have some parole issues. Here is the question, Evan. What failed, canceled streaming service did this air on? It was, I think, originally picked up by NBC and got kicked off.
Yeah.
And then 8 episodes were made of this.
Okay.
Quibi?
You've given an absolutely lethal
Emma thinks you could do this into a quick bite. Do you really think you can have Blake Shelton meet a fan in a quick bite?
It must be a Quibi. No. Oh, why are you shaking your head? Don't give me a second chance, because then I'm going to go with CISO.
You guys were with Quibi.
Was it CISO?
I thought you were going to guess CISO.
Was it CISO?
The answer is YouTube Originals.
What? Oh, no.
YouTube executives were just like, It did get 3 billion views. People just want to see more sugar.
It does make sense. YouTube Originals only greenlight stuff that's based off a big-ass YouTube video.
Yes, exactly. It's kind of hard, though, because YouTube Originals is 100% like been canceled and spun down like Quibi and CISO, but like YouTube still exists. It's just a part of their business.
Yes, I didn't think of them as canceled.
We don't have the full schadenfreude for YouTube Originals that we have for Quibi.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to have in mind. So we already know a lot about this song. We got to keep the music video in mind. We got to keep the thirsty in mind. Let's start playback on the song and see what we think. We already know that Anna is a major hater of even just the sound of the thing. Oh, it opens so chill. Listen to these chords. Now, I got to break something to you. You are not going to get any more chords than this. They just, the whole song, the whole song just happened. The whole song just happened. I'm going to check myself by the time we get to the bridge. But that's
before you wreck yourself?
That's almost 3 minutes in, and I know it's only those four chords all the way through. The verse, the pre-chorus, the chorus is the same thing every time. We'll check every stanza.
What is that, like, do, sol, la, fa? Is that the...
I think I would call it in a major key, which means that the chords are, what I'm hearing, fa, la, re, do. It finishes on the do.
Oh,
wow. It's going solfege.
It starts on the four. I'll play it again, then we'll get into the verse. And I appreciate you brought the fa so la to my pod.
We've never done the solfege. We've always done the numbers. It's exciting. I'm hurting, baby. I'm broken down. I don't know. This far into it, maybe I'm into it. When you get to love and love, and I'm out.
I hate to admit it, but it is so, like, dancey. Like, you can hate this song all you want, but you're like...
You're already apologizing for your for your hater position. I thought you were a professional hater. This is your opportunity to prove your bona fides as a professional hater.
I cannot resist rhythm. I'm sorry.
You can just imagine yourself bopping your shoulders like, in the pharmacy line.
I'm like, oh, God, I hate this song.
You know, we didn't talk about the vital stats of this song, but when you talk about danceability, I will highlight... This song is written at 120 BPM, clicks a second, and everybody knows it's one of the most danceable tempos. Just, I don't have a list in front of me, but off the top of my head, I know TikTok by Kesha is at 120 BPM. Extremely huge hit, very danceable song. And another thing that Andrew brought up several months ago is how the tempo of the song affects chewability.
This is a known fact that chain restaurants set their playlist to be around, I'm not making this up, 120 BPMs to make people subconsciously chew faster and turn more tables. Isn't that twisted?
It just supports the case of, like, this is not just a pharmacy level song, this is an Applebee's level song.
You're just chomping down your jalapeno poppers while you're listening to Adam Levine talk about that red velvet.
It's a choking hazard. Yeah.
This song is a choking hazard.
I want to say something that I hadn't super thought about, and then watching the video, I did super think about, which is, like, they're setting up all their gear. They're plugging in their guitar amps. They're plugging in their bass amp. They're setting up their drums. Then you listen to this song, and you're like, the idea of Maroon 5 being a rock and roll band, by this point...
You just accept it. You accept that they're a band.
Entirely cosplay at this point in 2014. Like, they have the long-haired guitar player with the beard. Where's the guitar in this song? Where is it?
It's there. By the time you get to the chorus, it's like in the background, like, but could have been just pasted in from a sample bank.
What was the band playing at these supposed weddings they went to? It wasn't this. You can't play this as a rock band. And then you look at the list of the writers and the producers. It's a Dr. Luke song who did all the Kesha stuff and now is disgraced because of sexual harassment shit. But then you look him up and it's like he's still producing all this stuff. He just changed his fake name. He's doing all Doja Cat stuff. He's just not Dr. Luke anymore. Now
he has a different pseudonym.
Now he's like Lawyer Lee. Not really, but
it is something like it's like Cypher Luke.
But he's on this track. All these other famous DJs and producers are on the track. It's actually written by Mike Posner. And you can find really early versions of it, of Mike Posner performing it, that basically sounds identical. Like,
Andrew, I'm loving this detective.
As far as I can tell, everyone else who's on it is like mostly just like coasting on Mike Posner's work. But like all the synth stuff, like it's just it's just Dr. Luke and a bunch of session players.
There are so many people involved for this song to be so bad.
It's so simple, right?
Yes.
But it does get to your like danceability comment. Like, this is a song made by committee. Like, scientists in a lab trying to
dial up the 120 BPM. D flat major. Dr. Luke, bring in the synthesizers. Where's Mike Posner? Call him from Ibiza.
Play the Posner thing.
Bring him in.
We have the Posner song in this soundtrack.
Yes, okay.
Just play a little bit of it. We're barely in the song.
As we're getting deep into the research here.
I think it's mostly theft, because like these guys are playing the synthesizers, but when you listen to the live performance by Mike Posner in 2012, he was going to put this on an album, and then...
It was a 100% Mike Posner song.
Yeah, Levine heard it, was like, can I have this? He was like, no, I'm going to put it on an album. He canned the album, and then he was like, oh, Adam Levine asked about this song. I'll call him back up. When you listen to Mike Posner do it, you're like, this was already done. Like, as far as I can tell, Mike Posner did 80% of the
work. Okay, so this is like an iPhone video of Posner doing a small show, you know, before the song belonged to Maroon 5. Same sense.
And he does a lot of the background vocals on the... on the real track, on the really? On the real, quote unquote, the Maroon 5.
You can hear the synths are already there, identical. So it's like Maroon 5 didn't play those or add them. Mike Posner had already played them, performed them, recorded them before the thing just got passed down the hallway.
And who's on stage for Mike Posner? Nobody.
There is no band.
He's on stage with a microphone singing along to the track, which is what Adam Levine is doing while the band is standing on stage.
So what you're saying is that Maroon 5 in the music video is likely playing one of their better songs.
When they're just faking playing their instruments, or they're really just playing to a backing track.
Yes.
Like, I don't know.
How if you're the guitar, if you're James Valentine, the guitar player for Maroon 5, do you just feel great about this? Are you like, man, I don't have to do any work and I'm just making millions of dollars?
Why do you know the guitar player's name?
Or are you ashamed?
He didn't know that before this week. Yeah. This is his job, and
are
it's
you
his
ashamed?
Job to know the
like,
names
I,
of the band.
Like, I stand
band.
On stage, my amp is turned to zero, and Adam Levine is just preening around stage with his shirt off, singing Sugar, and I'm standing up there like a moron. Everybody knows my guitar isn't even on. How do you feel about that if you're James Valentine? I found out James Valentine's name because, you know, of course, he was playing guitar on the soulful acoustic She Will Be Loved. Mm. That was all of these couples' first dance.
I don't know. You know, there's a good version of this where, like, these guys just bro down so hard that 10 years ago when Adam Levine could have taken off into the stratosphere with a solo career, he just said, no, I'm in a band. They don't play their instruments. I sing to a backing track, but we are a band, damn it. I play to Mike Posner's backing track, but bring these guys along on tour with me forever. I want these bros on the bus.
I think you are the only person in all of history who can name a member of Maroon 5 that is not Adam Levine. And this includes people in Maroon 5
this
themselves.
Includes Adam Levine. Yes.
Oh, this is the most savage critique. We're going to get absolutely pilloried in the Maroon 5 subreddit.
Know them. He used to know their names like in 1997 when they were in a teen punk band, and he's just forgotten them.
Accidentally called them Mike one time, thought they were Mike Posner. That was awkward on the tour bus for days. What do we know so far about this thirsty song? It just hasn't gotten too thirsty, but it has sort of dripped out some... like, we already know from the one stanza that the song is about begging. I'm on my knees. I'm hurting, baby. I need your loving. Okay, this could be a million love songs so far, right? Kind of generic, not horrible, danceable. Let's see what unfolds. Just killing me when you're away. Okay. It's boring, frankly.
We're ready
for the hook. Okay, did get really high
Look,
there.
I am accidentally making a stank face. I'll admit it. I accidentally just went. I didn't want to, but I did.
You felt it.
When the first sugar hits, sugar, it's pretty cool.
It's not higher than the Bee Gees. It's very high. Is it too high?
You said it was too high.
I think it's too high. It's hard to make out. Like, me reading it, I'm like, oh, for the first time, I'm like, that's what he's saying there. It's hard to hear what he's saying.
You can't hear it, yeah.
And I think that, like, I can definitely tell autotune was definitely in play. I'm not saying Adam Levine is not a good singer, or maybe I am. Who knows? But I just think that that register is not a comfortable one. for him, and I can tell as a listener.
You know, I think Adam Levine thinks this is his superpower, the falsetto. He'd be busting this out in every song. She will be loved. She will be loved. I think he thinks like this is like
other singers can't do this.
Yeah, this is the Levine-ness, buddy. This Vocalists is what I bring to the table. Him. Vocalists hate him. Karaoke DJs hate him. That's for sure. Yeah. Wow, this one hurts when somebody busts it out on Friday night at McAdoo's.
But do you think he's fooling himself, Evan? You think other singers can do this?
Well, okay. So to Anna's comment about the auto-tune, like, yes, definitely. This dude can definitely sing, and he definitely can sing high. But to get it to sound really thick, like, mm-hmm. I know Dr. Luke is pushing all the faders up on this one. There's about 20 copies of him in here. Mm-hmm. So to get it to all, like, lock together, yeah, they dial up the tuning a little bit so that all 20 atoms can.
And my Tetris
into place. And my Posners, yeah. Singing on it. You got the Levines and the Posners in there. Mm. You got to dial them in with a little bit of auto-tune.
I just feel like maybe they should have went with a different key. Like maybe one that's like a little lower than it's like wouldn't. Because I don't know. When he does the notes, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm a falsetto hater.
Yeah,
but
it's so high.
Do you guys think that the fact that Mike Posner dropped out of society to walk across the United States and then flew to India to climb Mount Everest, do you think it had anything to do with him atoning for writing the song?
What are you talking about?
I had no idea.
You guys haven't been following the life of Mike Posner?
What are you talking about?
You're pulling my leg that you guys don't know about this.
No, I know about Mike Posner that he dropped out of college because he had his first hit. You're cooler than you.
Yeah, I love college. I didn't even know he makes like pop music.
A couple years ago, he dropped out of society. No, he didn't really drop out of society because he was like posting on an Instagram, but he walked from coast to coast. He almost died when he was bit by a rattlesnake, but he finished his walk. He was in the hospital for like 6 weeks, almost died, walked from coast to coast.
Is this before or after the Ibiza thing?
I don't know what that is. But then he was in such good shape, he was like, well, might as well go climb Mount Everest, and he did. But maybe it's all to be like, oh, Road Sugar. I unleash this on the people.
It was spiritual atonement.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Wait, so he actually climbed Mount Everest?
I think he did. I think he played a show at base camp as well. It's all great content. Talk about great content creation. Did he sing Sugar? Has Sugar now been exposed to
the Sherpas at the base camp?
You hear a rumbling above. Just an avalanche pours down the mountain.
We're halfway through this chorus. There's like a little B part where he sings a little bit lower, and then back to the high sugar bit. Let me play this.
Show me good loving.
Yeah, show me good loving. Yeah, you know, they chose the key. They decided, like, the high note, let's put the high note right at the peak of where Adam Levine can sing this. When he sings, sugar, you can understand that. That could be on the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. Once he reaches up to that F, then it starts to pinch off, and you're like, sorry, what'd you say? I'm sorry? Coming with him, Tommy?
Wow, won't you come and put it down on me?
It's a reach.
It's a very demanding song.
Put what down on me?
Well, right, what exactly are we putting down?
What down on me?
We're putting
me?
A down payment on me? He's a house.
0% APR for 36 months?
So far, it's all just a figure of speech. Just come put it down on me. Whatever it could be. But we're going to progress through some more thirstiness. We got one other verse to listen to. Tell me what you think.
See? Evan's bobbing his head. He couldn't help it.
He can't help it.
It's 120,
120.
Man. My neck moves at 120.
I just realized this song, the like instrumental sounds similar to there's a Katy Perry song.
Oh, man. Just say it. We're going to Google it. It's probably by Dr. Luke. Whatever you say, say it out. I'm Googling it.
Was it last Friday night?
Last Friday night.
You know, when she goes, there's a DJ in my head or something. Yeah. Like, I don't remember.
Yeah, and Rebecca Black's in the video.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if I'm like just misremembering the song, but I feel like that part sounds similar.
Yeah. I think like the way that the super producers involved in this song have their like fingerprints and signatures all over pop music, like you're definitely hearing some of the signature sounds in here. So I've just Googled it in the last 10 seconds. Last Friday Night by Katy Perry is at 126 BPM. Incredibly close. It's produced by Dr. Luke.
He just
was... It's the same guy.
Yeah.
And there's a period of song that of about maybe 8 years between Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson and this song, where one of his signatures thing is his rhythm guitar. It's the exact same in the Friday Night track. I'm sure that's what you heard. And you're like, you're acing the detective
key. He wrote Katy Perry's first big hit, I Kissed a Girl and I Like
No
It.
No way.
And he was in the Saturday Night Live band as like a guitar prodigy. And then basically at like Saturday Night Live after parties, ingratiated himself. No, I don't mean that in a bad way, but just like connected with more important people in the music industry than him. It's very cool to be in the Saturday Night Live band, but you're not out there writing hits. And he became his mentor was Max Martin, who wrote all the hits for ABBA and wrote all the hits for Ace of Base and stuff. And so like in their early, like in Dr.
Luke's
early,
they co-wrote
a bunch of stuff for
Perry
Backstreet
stuff.
Boys and NSYNC. And then he went out on his own and then got sued by Kesha.
There's like a family tree of these super producers that leads right to the Maroon 5 stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he gets sued for sexual harassment by Kesha and settles out of court.
Sure. He did it.
Can I zoom out for a second?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to levy
mm-hmm.
an accusation. I was going to try to like pretend like this was like, oh, I noticed something, and then get to the accusation. But I decided to mix it up. I'm going to zoom out and drop an accusation at our friends in Maroon 5.
Oh, no.
So here, you know, what, like, if you had to classify this as a genre,
mm-hmm.
what would you say this is?
Bubblegum. This is just pop. This is just manufactured in a lab to go in the top 40, and it worked. They did it.
But there's also kind of like, would you grant me a kind of retro disco thing going on? With the Bee Gees and with the drums?
I think just the singing, you know, definitely makes me think of the Bee Gees, sure.
So this is like, what, 2 years after Uptown Funk? Right?
Uptown Funk was a masterpiece.
Uptown Funk is coming out in like 2011 or 2012. This is coming out in 2014. Then you think back to their first couple albums, and they're like touring with John Mayer and playing this like more guitar-driven stuff. Actually,
I think Uptown Funk is not before this.
Okay, look it up. James Valentine gets them on John Mayer's tour because he was friends with John Mayer at Berkeley. And he comes in late.
Oh, brother.
He like gets brought in by management. Management is like, you guys need a guitar player. And they bring in James Valentine and they make him change their name to Maroon 5. And just through the personal connection to James Valentine, they go on tour with John Mayer. And I basically feel like their early albums sound like John Mayer a couple years after John Mayer hits. What I'm accusing Maroon 5 of is mm-hmm. basically being trend chasers, of them being like, whoa, so what's on the charts now? And mm-hmm. did they nail it? Yes. But I just think they're trend chasers.
Did this song come out before or after Last Friday Night? Because I think I want to echo that accusation that I do think that they're trend chasers.
When did Uptown Funk come out, Evan?
2014. Like same time.
Okay. And my last piece of evidence for Maroon 5 being trend chasers is,
okay,
I have this on the soundboard for you, Evan.
Oh, no.
Is this their first single ever? We made a different band name.
Okay.
Kara's Flowers. They released this in
1997.
Most of the same guys. Adam Levine was still playing guitar. That was one of management's things. Was like, this guy's going to be a star, but he can't be playing guitar. He needs to just sing. So they brought in James Valentine.
If you're wearing a guitar, you can't cleanly take your shirt off.
Exactly. You can't show off your tattoos. And they also made them change their name from Kara's Flowers because they were like, your guys, like, you have basically have a known identity of having bad albums as Kara's Flowers, so you have to change your name. And this is their song from 1997.
Okay, hitting play.
It's just so Blink 182, so Green Day. It ended up getting picked up by Green Day's producer, the guy we talked about a couple weeks ago when we were doing Green Day, Evan. Like, he ended up being one of their main guys, but it's just like, pop punk is big. Let's do a pop punk album. I don't know. The nice way of looking at it is they just live in their moment and they make music that sounds like that moment.
They just love music, Andrew.
But from the hater perspective, these guys are trend chasers.
I think they're trend chasers as well. I absolutely agree.
She's on board.
I am on board with that.
Yeah. They also admitted that in the early 2000s, when they were about to reform and put together the first album, that they almost put out a country album. That's like right in the like
what?
Right in the
country resurgence
from Oh Brother Where Art Thou? What? They were just like, there's a trend. Gillian Welch, Alison Krauss. Adam, learn to play the fiddle. Just a kid from Brentwood High School.
Like
they're
just getting a notification for whatever the top Billboard album was that year. This year it's bluegrass.
Yes,
they could have been
something to do with George Clooney.
The next Mumford and Sons.
They could have been a Mumford band.
Yeah,
they could have been one of those Mumford bands doing hey hos and stomping around.
Imagine.
If Maroon 5 made Crate and Barrel music, it would be absolutely awful. I think.
But this horny. Imagine music that's this horny, but sung by a Mumford band.
Hey.
Ho. Hey, home.
Give it to me. Put it on me.
I'm sliding into your DMs. I'm back over here again. Pass me that wash tub. Here we go. Hey. That version is even worse than this version. Ugh, I gotta keep going because there is actually
would be great at a wedding. That music video I want to see.
That would kill it.
That would not be too bad. That would make sense.
Yeah,
you really get the crowd into it because they can stomp and clap.
Yeah, different settings. One of those barn weddings, I think. Okay, we're back to this pre-chorus. Okay, this is the same.
I want
to
be deep in your love.
I gotta get one little taste.
It's so catchy.
Bopping my head.
So even while you're hating, you're also admitting to what basically works, which is just those two notes.
Three and a half billion views, don't lie.
It's all based on those two notes. Those two notes made it catchy and locked in billions of people.
Do you think any of the viewers were coming over from the reality show, Sugar? Someone saw the Blake Shelton episode of Sugar and was like, what is this based on?
Oh my God. Okay, I've got to just pause because this is our last section of new lyrics. We're about to get the bridge, and this is where we cross some
We cross the Rubicon where you think maybe the song is about kissing, and then you hear this bridge.
It could have been kissing before this.
And then it's like the guy dropping the mug at the end of The Usual Suspects where you're like, oh, that's what he wanted her to put down somewhere.
Oh, this whole time.
Kobayashi.
This whole time he was talking about oral. Okay. Here's the bridge. I want that red velvet. I want that sugar sweet. Don't let nobody touch it unless that somebody's me.
I don't like it. I will respectfully disagree with you, Evan.
I don't like it.
He's talking about oral.
I don't like it. I don't like don't let nobody touch it unless that somebody's me.
He should have saved that for the sex with Sumner Stroh.
He should have saved it for his wife.
It's exactly what Sumner Stroh said in the sex. Aren't you married, lol?
Aren't you married?
LOL.
Aren't you married, LOL?
Or something?
He dropped.
It's complicated.
He dropped the oldest line in the book. Yes, but.
It's complicated. People go through things.
Yeah. Don't love to hear a yes, but.
People go through things like their husband sliding into Sumner Stroh's DMs.
Yeah.
Something you might go through in a
That's
marriage.
Something you might go through.
You know, I feel like the music video was like a metaphor for how he ruins the sanctity of marriage.
Oh my God, amen.
He's over here interrupting people's weddings and sort of like, you know, doing that. And he went on to sort of do a similar thing to his own marriage.
He's singing this bridge to the face of brides in front of not only the grooms, but their dads who just walking them down the aisle and are like, is the father-daughter dance next?
Oh my, imagine being at that wedding.
I want that red velvet. Wait a minute.
Just staring at the bride's
Don't
face.
Don't let nobody touch it.
That's somebody. I gotta be a man. I don't love it, guys. There ain't no other way,
cause girl, you're hotter than Southern California day.
Ooh. He said a baddie.
Oh.
Don't give me all that shy shit.
Maybe there is actually a radio edit, but they only bleep that. They didn't bleep all the other dirty stuff.
OK, okay, at this point, the song is already... The song is already 3 minutes long. We've heard all of the lyrics, and now it's just this.
A little vamping there.
He's doing a little ad lib.
Come and put it down on me, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, just soaring above everything with that mega high falsetto.
I'm incredibly disappointed I did not have time to show up with Adam Levine's fragrance. Adam Levine has a fragrance. It's named Adam Levine.
What?
If I'd had a little more time on my hands, guys, I would be just spraying it in the air right now. Just so we could see what Adam Levine smells like.
More of this.
He also
chorus.
Had a clothing line at Kmart, but I'm not sure you can still buy it.
Might. But don't you... If you make your own... I guess this is not really my area, but if you make your own beauty brand, don't you, like, give it a fancy name that sounds Frenchy or... It sounds like it could be its sex. You know,
call
it's Fenty.
It Red Velvet.
It's Fenty Sugar. Beauty, but it's, like, it's really Rihanna's thing or whatever. Like, why would you call your... Imagine calling your
Maroon
friends.
By Adam Levine.
Maroon by Adam Levine, yeah.
My scent? Adam Levine. Huh? His sweat just smells like tattoo ink.
Yeah, it smells like tattoo ink and asphalt.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I think like CIA new torture method just dropped. Like listening to this whole song.
Dictators of the future are quivering.
Are quivering.
They're going to be trapped in their mansions, and the CIA is going to be blasting this.
That's how it felt to sit through the rest of the song, truly.
Once they got to that last chorus, and you're like, we still have three choruses left of this. It's amazing how much of a song you can make that really rests upon... two notes. Like, that's all it takes to put something catchy in a human brain. Sugar! Boom, boom, boom. Just, that's it. That was enough.
There's that good third note. <It's
true. laughs> But that's it. That's the building block. Everything else is filler.
What was the answer to your bridge chord question, Evan? You kind of teased that. How many chords are in the song? Did they go to a new chord in the bridge?
We got to wrap this up, guys. But okay, you brought it up.
Evan's Music Theory Corner.
But you got to do it in solfege.
I'm going back to the bridge.
Yes,
I will. Please. I'm going back to the bridge. Let's see.
Yeah, I want that red velvet. I want that sugar sweet.
Don't it's just slower. It's just whole notes.
No, it's not even slower either.
I just mean they're playing longer notes. The tempo is the same.
No, they're not longer either.
No.
It's the exact same thing.
Just the drums are out.
Boom, boom, boom.
It's
one change. It's one unsyncopated chord change every bar. 4-6-1-2-1.
Yeah. It feels...
It's fa, la, re,
so it's the same.
Do, the whole song. Yes.
It feels like whole notes on the bridge because the drums are out, but it's actually whole notes the whole song.
Yeah,
too.
We didn't even really talk about the music because there's just not that much to talk about, right? But we could have broken down the little guitar, the Dr. Luke guitar licks or whatever. Like the most that they do is be like, time for the sensitive part. Drummer, pause. You got 8 bars to get a sip of water.
I gotta say, the Maroon 5 drummer is really good. He played the notes like really even for this whole song.
Yeah, almost like a drum machine.
Yeah, almost like they copied and pasted the same.
Almost like a metronome. Almost like some DJ like Mike Posner dialed it up and hit press play.
Too cruel.
He played it in the studio, but had just dialed it on a metronome. So it might as well be a drum machine. Anyway, we went back. We checked the thing I said I was going to check. And sure enough, it's the same chords top to bottom for 4 minutes.
Inna, do you have any last words about hating the song now that you've listened through it, now that you've learned so many facts about the music video and imagined what it would be like to have Adam Levine sing your first dance at some moment in the future and also read the lyrics about Red Velvet? Any last thoughts?
I think knowing what I know about the song, I hate it even more now. Like, I will say, like, this is a song that I've hated, but I'm the type of hater where, I'm bopping to this song. Came on the radio. I guess I'm gonna sing along. And now I think I utterly detest this song. It's bad. It's and the lyrics are way worse than I thought they were. like from what I could hear, like
you're already annoyed by the sound of the song. Now you're actually reading the lyrics instead of the previous version. They're so high, they're muddled. You can't hear 20% of them.
The lyrics are bordering on morally objectionable.
Absolutely.
And I'm not talking about like you shouldn't sing about sex. I'm talking about like
it's manipulative.
I own you.
Yes.
And like yeah, and the manipulative
it's like
side of it.
Almost gaslighty. Almost like yeah. No. Like he yeah. definitely did something before for her to like. You know, want to end whatever was going on. And he's like coming back like, I'm hurting. I'm the victim here.
For me, romance is like we did something beautiful together. I'm attracted to you. Are you attracted to me? We're finding each other mutually attractive, blah, blah. This is so wonderful. This is beautiful. For Adam Levine, romance appears to be begging and being super thirsty. Please, 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 baby, 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 baby. Give me a red velvet cake. Mama, mama, mommy, mommy, mommy. I need it.
Stop.
You mentioned just for a brief second there that something about the type of hater that you were.
Yes. I think there are different types of haters. There are people who are hateful because, you know, they are bitter, you know, things like that. And they're like haters with more nuance, you know, like I feel like I'm a more nuanced hater where
you're a nuanced hater.
I'm a level-headed hater. Like I can acknowledge that I don't like something, you know, for my own, you know, reasons. And sometimes they're not very good reasons, but I can still enjoy something that I don't like.
Yeah, you kind of strike me as an INHJ.
Your personality diagnosis. Yeah, you're a hater with optimism. You do it out of love. It's a hate, but for love.
Yeah, we were talking about this before we rolled about hating. Ann and I met through Annie of Depths of Wikipedia, who has set me on a moral crisis looking inward about whether I'm too much of a hater or not. Mm-hmm. If you've been listening to every week, it has been major, basically the plot line of the last 12 episodes, me struggling with being a hater, which Annie really said, I think,
it's
non-judgmentally,
a season
arc
for you.
Just
like
innocent,
for sure.
Non-judgmentally. But we were talking about off mic that like, you can be a hater just for hating or like, are we optimistically hating, just wishing the song was better, wishing the song was in a better world, wishing that Adam Levine just wasn't so goddamn horny.
Yes.
Okay, we got to get out of here and actually go do the punch-up. There is a troll. I'm just pledging. There is a troll version of this punch-up. And we have definitely trolled guests before in which I'll go away and I will just modulate up on every verse to make it higher and higher and then play it back for you. And I'm pledging right here to not do that.
This will not be the shitpost version.
This will not be a shitpost
in
which I torture you with an even higher version. I won't do that. After the break, we'll listen to the punch-up.
So obviously I've done an embarrassing amount of reading about Adam Levine and Maroon 5 and Sugar in the last week of my life.
It's not embarrassing. This is the crux of our show. I thank you for doing this research.
But the funniest thing I found out, I forgot to tell you guys, which is I went to Adam Levine's page. I was like, I mostly was wanting to read about
Maroon 5.
Yeah, I went to his Wikipedia page where, you know, like you do, it's where I do a lot of my research. And I was scrolling down and I was like, there's something I wanted to check out. I was down in his personal section and I was just like, huh. That's funny. There's no mention of the whole sext thing. That's a pretty big scandal of his in the last 2 months.
A notable scandal.
Yeah. He's sexting with an Instagram model.
Multiple.
In Instagram, multiple. Mm-hmm. And one of them reveals it on TikTok. And he said that his wife was pregnant with their third child. And he said, I actually want to name my child after you, which is no bueno.
That's no bueno.
That's really weird. It's one thing to say like, wow, you really have an hourglass figure. It's another thing to say, my wife is pregnant and I want to name my child after you, my side piece.
It's a breach of so many moral codes.
Anyway, so I was like,
and felt like it was meant to be a flirt. Yeah.
In his personal section, there's no, and it's like you're seeing his whole flirting in these sects because like, oh, he's like going really hard and I want to see the booty. And then he's like trying to do the casual thing. We're like, oh, I'm thinking about getting out of town, taking a trip. It's like just letting you in on his life, but also like maybe mentioning like you want to take a trip to Hawaii with me. like you do. So I was like, oh, is there a separate section? No section. No separate section about his sects. That's pretty notable. This is a big sect scandal.
People have big media scandals. It goes in the Wikipedia article.
And all of a sudden, it hit me.
Oh, no.
I was like, this is going to be an insane talk page.
Meaning that's the page behind the page.
That's the page behind the page where the editors fight when editors are being crazy. And there have been hundreds of edits in the last 2 months of people adding all the shit. And then this one guy named Andy the Grump.
What?
A Wikipedia editor named Andy the Grump who's just immediately getting in there and deleting all of them and being like, this is not notable. This is only alleged. Not true. Not important to Adam Levine's life.
He's an Adam Levine stan protecting his reputation.
Noah, have you ever seen Andy the Grump and Adam Levine in the same place? It's just so, and like they're, you know, as people are making the edits, there's like a little field where you say like, what is your edit about? Like, oh, like I updated this, I have to do that.
Oh,
like
hundreds of people are running to this Wikipedia yes. article because they want to be the one to type the words, holy fuck.
And there are hundreds, like at the beginning, people are like, Andy, I really disagree with you. I think this is notable. By like the 200th reverted edit by Andy the Grump, people are like, their comments on their edit are like, there's more of us than him, guys. We've got to fight back against Andy the Grump. And they just lose.
Why does Andy the Grump have so much power?
I think he's just more devoted.
You're asking the right questions. There should be a seniority thing.
I think he just has an alert set up that anytime, I think even though there's dozens of people trying to type, fuck, or like, show me the booty, I've got to see that ass jiggling. So many people are trying to put that on Adam Levine's page, but they maybe try once or twice and then they give up. And Andy the Grump is just parked like the troll under the bridge, just ready to delete all those edits. It was so, I don't know, it was very funny to me.
And as hard as we try to have a freaking music podcast, every week we get closer and closer to being a Wikipedia podcast. Let's do a segment where we call Annie and she can get to the bottom of who Andy the Grump is.
She could be a special correspondent.
She could be
the special
wiki correspondent. We need it. We're doing so much research. This is the show about facts. This show is about facts and hating.
I want to call Starley Kine and have her do a mystery show about who Andy the Grump is. Why does Andy the Grump care so much?
Andy the Grump is an industry plant, I am convinced. Because this is wow.
It's probably a PA at The Voice, right? There's like a PA at The Voice that Adam Levine was like, hey, you've got a Wikipedia account, right?
Yeah. What if it was?
But how does one person prevent this from happening like close to like 100 times? Like, Is there seniority within the Wikipedia ranks?
There should be, but clearly we got problems in the democracy that is Wikipedia.
Yeah, you just go to the edit page and you just take it out and there's real... Yeah.
You can't give the Grump veto power. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, someone with Grump in their name, like, that's a red flag.
Yeah, hello. All right, what did we do? We're back. We're talking about the punch-up. I'm glad you told us this story because it got us talking about the sexes again. We decided that... the music video, of course, is an important part of the story of this song and the story of who Adam Levine is, inserting him and his story into yours. And we thought, if it's bad enough to interrupt somebody's wedding reception to play your single as their first dance, what would be even more heightened? What would center Adam Levine even more in your life would be if we played this song in the wedding ceremony rather than the wedding reception. And then also, all of the lyrics were directed right at the bride. I present to you our punched up and improved version of Sugar.
100% better.
You're coming down the aisle.
Now the dad's right in there. The dad's on her arm.
This is now a processional. It's your day of all days.
My shoulders are moving.
To crash your wedding on your big day. It's your big moment. Spotlight on me.
Still 120.
What's more romantic than Adam Levine? Don't want to seem needy, but I'd love 10 minutes of your time with that love. A big deal, so we'll co-opt your day. But I really don't care if you're married, and I really don't care if I'm married. I'm ready to stand here and say, you blow a day.
This is straight to the bride.
Yeah, I'd make you a sandwich, feed it to your booty, slap your first name.
Just want to emphasize the spiral emoji was in the sex. Spiralized emoji was in there. She made him sick.
He was dizzy.
He needed it that bad.
Verse 2.
I came to bless you all with some karaoke. See, I'm imagining he reveals himself as the priest and starts singing this.
He's got the collar and just rips it off and shows his tats.
You're such a beautiful bride. This chump of a groom steps aside so I can look at your butt. Listen up now, your mother and father come here. I really don't care who can hear. Everybody can now focus up. Your booty, unreal. Like it's so hard, it blows my mind. Like it's a real, real big, big butt.
It blows my mind.
Yeah, I'd sell all my children, replace them with your butt, put it in my last will and testament. Booty, do anything.
Too real.
It's too real.
I need to see the booty. Your booty, I saw it, and it scarred me permanently.
It's still a pop, though.
Wow, you sound great. Evan, you sound great on that one.
Thanks. Yeah, I had to put 20 of me in there too. Get them all dialed in. So thank you guys so much. It was it's difficult to get up that high that many times, but we made it better by centering Adam Levine more. It's even more about it. And also, one thing that happens a lot in our punch-ups, we made this song a little bit more honest about what it's about.
I love that. You know, like, I feel like it's not beating around the bush, you know? It's just like, straight to the point. I want to see some booty.
Straight. I don't care if you're literally getting married right this second in front of me. You're about to say your vows. I do not care. I want to see the booty. I'm looking at it right now, and it's making me mentally unstable.
By the way, here's my Instagram handle. Make sure you give me a follow. Send me a DM. Let's keep in touch. Spiralize emoji. You made me sick with the way you looked in your dress. Can't believe you went strapless.
I will disown my own children if it means I can touch.
I mean, centering Adam Levine isn't so depressing. You know, he's on The Voice for like 8 or 9 years. Mm-hmm. What did American Idol give us? American Idol gave us something as a culture. It gave us Kelly Clarkson. It gave us Ruben Studdard.
Justin Guarini.
It gave us Justin Guarini. It even gave us that one guy who's the metal singer. What's that guy's name?
Daughtry.
It even gave us Chris Daughtry. What's The Voice giving us? Has the Voice, there is no, The Voice is just giving us number one Blake Shelton hits and number one Maroon 5
it's
hits.
Only elevating the hosts.
Yes, it's just about the
is
hosts.
There anybody from The Voice that has made it? I feel like I'm overstepping here. I don't actually know.
I feel like if you do really well on The Voice, it means that you're guaranteed like a nice mid-level career. It's
you're
like,
guaranteed a Christmas
like,
album.
Yeah, it's like,
would you
like
to tour...
You
and get on the Hallmark Channel.
Would you like to tour 500 seaters for the next 10 years? And that's like a good career. It's a good career, but it's not a Kelly Clarkson career.
Kelly Clarkson.
You're not going to be hosting a talk show 15 years later.
Mm-hmm. X Factor did One Direction.
What my question is what if you crossed The Voice with our version of the punch-up, we started doing weddings on The Voice. Has there ever been a The Voice of a wedding?
Somebody get married on the stage
get married
of The Voice.
On The Voice while Adam Levine sings Maroon 5's new single to you.
There are people out there that want Adam Levine centered on their wedding day.
Yeah. People would pay to get married on The Voice.
Does the audience get to vote on... on the marriage, like.
Well, I think the coaches have to turn their chairs around and say, like, this is why you want me to be your wedding planner. That'd be an amazing show, an HGTV show, The Voice, that's just like wedding planners turning around and being like, you guys are a great couple.
Sorry,
I love your story.
I'm punching this up. It's not wedding planners that are your coaches. It's just Christina Aguilera and Blake Shelton, who have just dead bodies in their wake. So many failed marriages between them, and they are planning your wedding.
What's higher stakes, planning their wedding or planning your home renovation? I think wedding's more fun.
Oh, yeah, way higher stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get one shot at your wedding, one beautiful day.
Man,
which A-lister is going to interrupt it?
Do not pick Adam Levine because he will try to steal your wife and make her his side piece. Going surfing. Yeah, think I'm going to go surfing in Maui. Nate might give me some tattoos. He said something in the sex. He said, going to put some clouds between me and the Reaper. What does that mean?
Okay, I thought about this. Yeah, it's just one of the many sexts.
What does that
I just hate
mean?
That I have to know that this exists, but I exist in this world. People talk about this story. Now I know what the sexts were, and one of them was, need to put some clouds between me and the Reaper. I think because that was in the same series of sex in which he said, I'm going to Maui.
To surf?
You would think it was, putting some clouds. It's about the airplane that he's taking to Hawaii. But no, I think he probably has a tattoo of the Grim Reaper on his butt. And he's going to put clouds around the Grim Reaper tattoo on his butt to make it more tasteful.
Like the Grim Reaper, like sitting on a cloud with his like hand on his chin, thinking about like, someday I'm going to get Adam Levine. Going to be a good day.
See,
really like that
Does this hold any water for you? I think he's describing tattoo plans and giving the Instagram model. He's intriguing with them, trying to get them to say, oh, could I see a picture of your butt with the Grim Reaper? Like he wants to send them pics.
What do you think putting clouds between you and the Reaper is?
I thought it would be like euphemism. Like clouds is like butt. And maybe the Reaper is like his hands or something.
Maybe he named his dick the Reaper.
Yes.
And she knows that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it is. I'm thinking it's euphemism.
I think it's a cool surf thing. I think like when you're up on a really sick wave, you're like, gonna put some clouds between me and the Reaper. Because like you could die at any moment surfing. But like you're up on the wave with the clouds behind you.
Oh, those big tubes in Maui. Yeah,
that's,
they're lethal.
For me, I think it's about tubes. Shredding tubes and like... just putting clouds between. I'm gonna start saying that just when I walk out of the office at night, Evan. I'm gonna be like, "See you tomorrow, Evan. Gonna go put some clouds between me and the Reaper. Gonna ride the G train back to Fulton Street."
The G train is the Reaper of subways.
Oh my gosh.
We've gone too deep with this one. And, guys. We got to get out of here, and we got to get into some walking music.
This was the perfect pick. You were such a hilarious, funny guest. Thank you so much for bringing this on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Such great specific hating about it. Really appreciate it. And we're going to close the show with the same segment we close the show every week with, a little segment we like to call Walk-In Music.
What is your walk-in in music?
What is your walk-in in music? You want to go first?
I will go first. So my scenario... is... you could go ahead and start playing the song, Evan. This is a song called The Door... by George Jones, the country great. And this is a song I'm playing. I've been sexting with a semi-famous Instagram model.
Okay.
I couldn't help myself.
Instagram famous
model. And I was married. Things were complicated. We're working through some stuff.
Sure.
But my wife, who is a Victoria's Secret model, has caught me. Everybody knows about it, even though it's not on Wikipedia. And she has decided to walk out on me. She's finally decided I'm not worth it anymore. She's going to put some clouds between her and the Reaper. She's taking our three children.
Whoa.
And leaving me.
One of whom is named Sumner. The third child is named after the other woman.
This is probably the best song I think ever about being left. Here.
Like a man.
So he's been talking about the worst songs, the worst sounds he's ever heard in his life.
Would think in my lonely room I'd hear it.
Oh, arrivederci,
baby. The possum, George Jones.
The one sound in this world my heart can't stand, doo-ba-doo-ba-doo, to hear that sound.
Ah! Yeah! Got him! Got him! It was the door.
I stan a Foley sound
he
in the song.
He heard the sounds of bombs exploding in Vietnam, and the door was worse. Love it.
Yeah, you got dumped. That's a great getting dumped song. I'll go next. This is a sincere endorsement. This is a song that I truly love, which is a cover by an artist I love, Wilson Pickett, singing Sugar, Sugar. Originally by the Archies. This version slaps, and I 100% would play this at the first dance of my wedding.
Sugar.
Mm.
This is a song also about kissing. It seems like it.
This song's about
kissing.
This song is about romance and kissing, man. You know, it'd be perfect for this song. It's like, maybe you already did your first dance. You sat down. There were some toasts. There's a lot of love in this room. This is a good wedding where no A-listers are barging in and centering themselves. There's a few toasts. You've heard from the father and mother, the bride, the best men, the maids of honor. Now everyone is finally antsy, and it's that perfect time. The DJ hits play on this song, and everyone busts up from the table and crashes the floor, hands in the air. It's a feel-good song.
I'm going to brief aside one of my heroes, friend of the pod, feature film director Morgan King.
Mm-hmm.
One of our very good friends from growing up, Evan. Directed the movie Spine of Night. He's weirdly done some graphic design work for our podcast. He's never been on it.
Okay.
Amazing fan of music. 80% of my musical taste shaped by him. Just a musical genius. I one time asked him at a crowded party. I yelled at him across the room. Morgan, who's a better singer? Sam Cooke or Otis Redding? I wanted him to settle an argument I was in.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan just hammered out of his mind, screamed across the room. Answer that question, Andrew. Is Wilson Pickett? I don't know why. That really killed me.
I respect it.
Great opinion. Great hot take.
Book. Okay, this is Sugar Sugar by Wilson Pickett. Anna, you brought an exciting entry.
So initially, my scenario was I'm a dying racehorse. It's my last race, and I just need the sponsors to give me a chance. But I think following this episode, I would like to change the scenario into, so I'm a man, and I was just publicly revealed that I was attempting to cheat on my wife some really illicit messages.
Very relatable, yeah.
So I've been kicked out of the house for some days, but I'm coming by to pick up my stuff. And, you know, like, I just need a song that will tell her to give me a second chance.
Mm.
So this is, this song, I just want her to give me a chance. Take on me, you know, like.
The front door slaps open.
Slaps open.
There you are with the boombox.
The boombox.
She's transfixed. She can't take her eyes off of you. She's angry. She hates you. She's seething. And yet, she's intrigued.
And she's dancing, of course.
Yeah, this is 120 BPM.
This is
130.
This is even faster. This is peak 80s. So catchy. Your lip syncing it to her. She can't resist.
Her smile slowly grows.
She can't resist. Now you're in a dance fight. Your eyes are locked. You're circling each other.
And she has three kids. She's also like, well, it would help for him to come back.
Yeah, could use some childcare.
He's the perfect, like, round vocal.
Take all me. Halftime drums. Hits you.
In a day or two.
Yeah.
That's how you do falsetto.
That's how you
build up
to
it.
You build up to it.
That's how you do it.
Wow. Oh, we didn't even know we were going to bring it back around to the high note.
Does she take you back after she hears that high note?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, what I did was egregious. Absolutely egregious.
It didn't work. You have to move into the Residence Inn for sure.
Absolutely. I'm gone. I am gone.
It didn't work. But you know what would have flopped quicker is if you rolled up to the door and sang Sugar.
Well, which Sugar? Either. Either's the wrong vibe.
Yeah.
Either's wrong vibe.
I'm not talking about Sugar Sugar by the Archies and covered by Wilson Pickett. I'm talking about Sugar. If he sang that to his own wife while they're in a fight, he's getting slapped.
No way. Yeah.
Don't you bring your Reaper around here.
Yeah. Put some clouds. Put some clouds between me and your Reaper.
Yeah. You go over to the Residence Inn and try to order the red velvet on room service.
Oh my God.
Anna, thank you so much for being here. Please check out Anna on Instagram at Park Slope Arsonist.
Park_Slope_Arsonist.
Yes. If you want to follow our podcast on Twitter or Instagram, it's Punch Up the Jam. As every week, we put the punch up on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/GregoryBrothers. Go download the punch up so you can listen to it on your Microsoft Zune.
And pass it to the DJ for your wedding day.
Yes, to play as your processional. We will be back next week with another punch up. But until then, we'll be putting some clouds between us and the Reaper.
You've been listening to Punch Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Original.